Mayor Arellano, it's been about a year since I spoke to you about the transition of government. What would you say have been the biggest impacts since then?
I think the biggest impacts is we've kind of gotten into the groove, so to speak, of how the new government runs. It's given me a little more time to focus on things like economic development, community outreach, you know, policy planning, which has been nice. You know, during the transition time, I and the council were paying a lot of attention to the actual structure, to updating codes, to looking at how the day-to-day operations were working and trying to adjust policies as needed in coordination with the city manager. And now that a lot of that work is done, we're able to step back a little bit, let him take care of the day-to-day operations, and focus more on policy and economic development and those kind of things that a mayor and council in this form of government really should be focused on.
One of the big changes, of course, has been nixing the commissioners and consolidating all those different departments. How has that gone overall?
Sure. Some parts are still a challenge, you know, a bit of a work in progress. Others went pretty smoothly. You know, one of the big benefits is every one of the council members is now looking at the city as a whole. All of the departments, you know, auditing all of the financials is our joint responsibility as opposed to having silos. It means there's more eyes on oversight, for example. And oversight, of course, is one of the big responsibilities of a mayor and council. It means when you look at the budget, and we've gone through a couple budget cycles now, you're looking at the impacts across the city instead of just your designated area and departments, which I think is a better operation. But there are some challenges. You know, reorganizing the Public Works Department is still kind of a work in progress. And it's a question of how do you balance the existing talent pool, you know, take care of your employees who came in under a certain structure, and still figure out what works best for the city's new direction, for the new form of government, and ultimately for the citizens. And so that's been an ongoing process, and it still continues. We're still looking at different ways to integrate that. But overall, I'd say most of the issues have been smoothed out of the transition time, and we've kind of gotten into a bit of a groove, which is good from an operational point of view.
How about staffing, particularly with Public Works changing so much on the organizational end?
Sure. You know, staffing, we're pretty well staffed up. You know, we've done quite a bit of hiring in the past couple years, but we've more or less stayed static with our number of employees. You know, given the budget challenges, both in Dixon specifically and across the state, hiring extra, which we'd like to do, is a bit of a challenge. You know, can we really incur those costs right now? And the answer has been no. And I certainly think there's a lot of change for the staff to absorb. You know, that's one of the challenges, making sure the employees are supported, making sure, you know, we're working with them to get them on board to some of the changes happening and communicating with them properly while still sticking firm with kind of the directions we need to go. That's one of the great, I think, balancing acts of switching this form of government, because you have so much of your staff and your employees that are undergoing a ton of change, and they're the ones who actually have to implement it in the day-to-day manner. You know, sometimes it's a little too easy as a mayor and council to say, hey, this is the best model, we need to implement that, but you got to make sure you're being cognizant of the fact that the staff and the employees who actually have to implement it, there's a lot of transition, there's a lot of change going on, and working with them through that.
Government employees obviously have a lot of exposure to this new transition into government, but what is the average perception and opinion of the citizens of Dixon?
You know, there's certain vary to some degree. For the most part, I think that people have been very supportive. You know, we've been given empowered quite a great deal by the citizenry to do some of the changes. Certainly, you look at the vote for the change of form of government, it was massive, over 70%, which in electoral terms is just huge. But that doesn't mean there isn't that 25% who didn't like the idea in the first place and have a very critical eye to what you're doing. Now, they haven't been negative. You know, I think a lot of people have given it room to look at it and study it. But overall, I'd say in mirroring that initial vote, the vast majority of the feedback I get is pretty positive. You know, I think the community is very supportive of what we're trying to do. They understand some of the challenges. You know, one of the biggest criticisms I think we get is, well, why can't you make it go faster? including, you know, one or two of our council members have asked that at different times. And the answer is pretty simple. If you rush certain things, you're not going to do them as effectively, and you're setting a lot of precedents during the changeover. So it's very important to be methodical, to do a lot of analysis. When you're making big changes, especially the ones with permanent repercussions, you want to be very careful in what you do. And sometimes that means you move a little bit slower. So it has taken us, you know, I've been in office over 2 years now, and there's still a few pieces we're putting together. I mentioned, you know, the public works is still kind of a bit of a process. The Dixon One concept is kind of coming to fruition, but we totally revamped how we did tourism in coordination with our other local governments. And that process is kind of coming to a culmination. And it's interesting because you talk to some of the staff and they'll say, man, we're doing so much so fast, you know, don't rush it. And then you talk to some members of the public or even council members like, why can't we do this faster? So one of the things I've been focused on, and I think the city manager is making sure we only bite off as much as we can chew and doing things the right way.
I assume the same thing applies to the meetings that you all hold.
Sure. One of the things you saw for us in the beginning is we held a lot of special sessions. And generally what we tried to do is keep them information-based and discussion-based and leave key decisions whenever possible for the regular scheduled meetings. But there's so much change happening in such a period of time that, especially in the beginning, you know, we were meeting as much during special sessions for discussion purposes and work sessions and studying as we were our regular sessions. You know, we'd have four meetings a month, I mean, when there's two regularly scheduled. And that pace, as we've kind of hit our groove, has definitely slowed down. During budget season, we kind of jumped up to that again. But during most of the year, we might still have some long meetings. Our meetings certainly are way longer than the previous under the commission form. But you're seeing more transparency because of that, more public discussion, and we're able to get that back down into generally two meetings a month with maybe one special session.
Let's move on to Dixon One. How did that idea get started, and how has it evolved since then?
The basic concept has been around Dixon for many years. It certainly isn't unique to me or my council, but the core concept is this. We had a number of entities, including the city itself, that were all investing in marketing the community, marketing the business, and the economic aspects of it. And we felt maybe there was some redundancy in services. So, for example, you had Lee County Tourism that was marketing Dixon and Lee County. You had Dixon Tourism that was marketing the city of Dixon. You had the Chamber of Commerce that was kind of marketing the business community and its members and, you know, the broader community. And then you had Dixon Main Street that was marketing its businesses and its region. So you had all of these places. You had four different places that were paying various forms of rent in town. You had several different leaders. You know, the chamber had its own CEO. Main Street had its own executive director. Lee County Tourism had, I mean, their employees were part-time, but they had their own staff. So you have multiple rents, multiple overheads. And the idea was, well, if we unify some of this and reduce some of our overhead in terms of salaries and rents and utility bills, you know, you'd have cases where literally two different entities were advertised in the same magazine, when maybe they could have just gotten one big page and split the page up and got a lower rate. So the idea was lower the overhead and use that savings to do more of whatever it is your core duties were, to get more marketing out, to hold bigger, better festivals, or to hire additional personnel to help manage those events. That was the core concept. In terms of how it's evolved, you know, one of the things that happened is the chamber got a little more directly involved. In the beginning, the focus was more on combining Main Street, Dixon Riverfront, and Dixon Tourism with the idea that maybe the chamber could get involved and that would be wise. After I created the Dixon One Task Force and they took a look at it, the joint recommendation was, why don't we integrate all of these units? And so what they recommended is what we ended up doing, which is the chamber changed its bylaws, absorbed some of those duties, and now the city contracts directly with Chamber and Main Street, which is the name of the new entity, to provide city marketing and things like that. And they're going to coordinate with Lee County Tourism, which is still a separate entity. So Dixon One Task Force is completed, and now, you know, the name of the new entity is essentially Dixon Chamber of Commerce and Main Street. And they're going to be right at the building the city bought, right down by the riverfront, which is a great location to manage festivals, to coordinate events, to help with the Petunia Festival. And some of those other buildings can go into other concepts. For example, they either can go back onto the open market and become businesses. There's an incubator concept for the old Main Street building where we'll help get new businesses started. You can start doing cool things with those that weren't possible before.
Mr. O'Donnell, when the idea to change the structure of the Dixon government got wind, how did that affect your duties and role as a city manager?
Well, I don't think there's any changes necessarily with my responsibilities. I think that they were always pretty clear what they were. I think that the hardest part of the transition was helping the elected officials and the department heads to get acclimated to the form of government, to define where they should be in their roles and how to interact with each other, and whether or not it's through me or directly with each other or things like that. So, you know, my responsibilities were always the same, you know, take care of the policy matters that the council brings down, keep an eye on financially, make sure the day-to-day operations are going well, help the council reach its visions.
What's been your impression of working with the council more directly as opposed to a set of commissioners?
Well, I never worked with a set of commissioners. I've always had but I had been in a situation in the past where I was a city administrator, which doesn't have some of the authority that the city manager does. In this form of government, the city manager is given a policy directive, and so long as he stays within that policy directive, he can fluctuate on different things, massage things so that it gets to the same endpoint, but again, staying within the policy. Whereas a city administrator, you still have a strong mayor. And so while the city administrator is given a policy direction, the mayor is much more directly involved in some of the day-to-day things going on and can give more advice or push policy in a certain direction versus in my case where, again, the whole council sets the policy and then I just carry it out.
What would you say have been the most striking differences with your role specifically throughout the past year?
I guess what it is the biggest change for me has been just basically handling some of the reorganization things that we've been trying to do. We have, you know, gotten a new public works director in after Mr. Ritter left. So again, there was a transition with staff. There are two new council members that started May 1st. So there was a transition with that. We had a council member that left early. So, you know, dealing with some of those things. But again, when it comes to my duties, I think my duties have remained the same. It's just some of the people around have changed that have is the things that I had to deal with.
Expanding on that, what's it been like working with these different sets of parties?
I've been around a long time, so I've had to, you know, experience a lot of change. And so really for me, there hasn't been, the biggest challenge is just making sure that everything's going smoothly, right? To make sure that there's communications when there needs to be communications. And, you know, we've hit a few bumps in the road, but things that aren't derailing where the council wants us to go.
In your view, what's been the perspective of the average citizen?
You know, I think that the average citizen maybe doesn't really notice a lot of change. They still see the guys out working on the streets. They still see the police on patrol. They still see the fire engine go out when there's a call. So for them, I don't know if there's been a big change. I think that those people who interact with the government more have seen more of a change in that. Perhaps with the city manager, we're a little more responsive. Maybe things move a little quicker, though the mayor will probably disagree that things don't always move quickly. And you know, maybe they see that we're getting more things done, or that we're moving forward on some things that maybe haven't always moved forward in the past.
Was there anything you didn't expect that just worked its way through this year?
You know, there's always things that you don't expect. I don't know if there's one thing that stands out in particular, but sure, there's things that you don't necessarily expect. And then what you do is you step back, you reflect a minute, you figure out what to do, and then you move forward.
And to both of you, what would you say is the next step for Dixon, both in terms of its government, the city itself, and its people?
Well, as I mentioned, we've kind of hit our groove in terms of turning over day-to-day operations and the policy adjustments that were needed to make that happen over to the city manager and his staff. And we're more focused on high-level policy things, economic development, and promoting the community. So I think going forward, one of the things that'll be a challenge in Dixon that's not unique to Dixon specifically is the broader Illinois climate environment. How do we keep doing what we're trying to do, which is promote Dixon as a cultural bastion, as an employment center, with some of the headwinds we're getting at the state level? You know, the next question, you know, I and the council have very much picked up and carried the torch of Dixon's cultural advancement. So how do we balance that with key budget concerns such as infrastructure needs and the growing pension costs? Because at the end of the day, all of these different things take investment, and we've been relatively anti-new taxes. So how do you balance all of that? You got to make choices on that.
With the recent sales tax for the jail being an exception?
I mean, none of that comes with the city of Dixon, so that doesn't help us with our mission at all in terms of infrastructure, culture, or budget. You know, if anything, that actually hurts us because as the sales tax goes up for Lee County and the school passed one, we used to have the lowest sales tax in the region. We can no longer brag that. Typically, what you'll see is your overall receipts go down a little bit, even if your tax revenue goes up, except that our tax revenue won't be going up because we didn't have any increases. So our revenue actually might be hurt by what they did as people come to Dixon less. So that's actually a bigger challenge for us.
And I think that the thing that we need to do in order to move forward is because we've got two new council members, and the original council elected 2 years ago had kind of set forth a 100-day agenda. So they kind of had some goals that were placed out there that we need to have the council come together and through a workshop that also includes some input from the staff, develop a set of goals that we can then work towards for the next 8 to 12 months and be able to say this is where we're going.
And going back to economic development, how would you say attracting new businesses is going to work going forward?
Well, I think we have a lot of positives and a lot of assets that are not fully developed. And as we develop those, that we'll see increased investment into the commercial and industrial sectors. I think that we have a lot of opportunities. I think we have a lot of good partnerships that will allow us to be able to prepare ourselves and then start attracting new business and industry.
I think the biggest challenge to economic development in Dixon right now is the dramatic cost of new construction. Because of our past successes, you see the downtown's over 90% full. The industrial park is almost filled up as well. The issue we run into is that unless a building opens up, as one recently did on Palmyra, where we saw a machine shop, Ziegler's machine shop, come in and take over that and bring in new employment and add employees, unless an existing building opens up, it's a challenge to find new homes for businesses because the cost difference between new construction and existing buildings is massive.
I mean, part of it is just new construction in general is so much more expensive. And that's true anywhere, not just Dixon. And the other issue is many communities kind of have a stable of vacant buildings they're trying to fill. And because of Dixon's commercial successes and industrial successes, we don't. There's not a lot of vacant buildings in Dixon compared to what you would find in some of the other kind of Sauk Valley or Northern Illinois communities. So it's a sharper problem for us in as much as we've been successful filling the vacant buildings, but those are the ones that are cheaper and easier to do. So now we move on to a world where someone looking at Dixon might be choosing between an existing vacant building in some other community or the cost of new construction in Dixon. And that's a big hurdle.
Finally, is there anything else either of you would like to add?
No, I don't think so. I think a lot of the problems we're facing in terms of economic development are good problems. When you've been so successful that you're looking for new land, like Project Viaduct Point helps solve that problem. But it does mean you have to get a little more creative, and we're in the process of doing that.
I'll concur.